Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, hear, I implore you, I pray you again, make your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us. Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we will continue with our letters, the reading of Luisa's letters, and to see, look for the teaching of Luisa Picaretta in this correspondence that she had with different people, to see how she teaches the gift of the divine will and what we can learn from her in relation to the Book of Heaven, also this great gift that God has given us through her writings. Today we will read, I believe, letter 61.
Letter number 61 to Mother Cecilia. My good and reverend mother, you will forgive me if I didn't write to you, but be sure that I don't forget you before our Lord, that he may give you strength and grace in the most delicate office he entrusted to you. I hope that your first act may be to feed your novices with the bread of the divine will. However, in giving it, you have to spice it with a strong dose of love, with a kindness all celestial, and with the sweetness of Jesus on your lips, so that they may find such taste in it that a few words may be enough for them in order to become saints. Nor will they look for long discourses which, while attracting the hearing, leaves the soul starving. Dearest mother, tell them on my behalf not to pay attention to specks and straws, but to the celestial bread that sweet Jesus wants to give them through you. That is the bread of the supreme fiat. Nor will Jesus ask them for any other account than this, that his divine will be accomplished in everything. My good mother, as you know better than I, everything is in denying nothing to the divine will. To deny something to it, not letting oneself be dominated by it, means to break the sanctity, to tear it to shreds, in such a way that we ourselves will not be able to make head or tail of anything in order to really become saints. We would be like a body from which arms, feet, and heart have been detached. And oh, poor sanctity, without the whole life of the divine will. Therefore, my mother, let us love it very much. Let us always do it, even at the cost of our lives. A more beautiful life will be given back to us, and let us interest ourselves in making it loved by others. Now, let's come to our case. I don't believe that. There has never been a shadow of huffiness between us. You wanted to make a joke, which served to make us laugh and maybe to spur me on to write you. If I didn't write you before, it is because I didn't see the necessity of it, and I was waiting for an opportunity to write you. Nor did I know that Sister Maria Concetta came to Oria. Had I known it, I would have written you. I only knew when she came back. Therefore, forgive me, and let us remain always friends and united in the divine volition. My sister kisses your right hand and tells you many, many things. All the community sends you regards from the heart. Don Benedetto blesses you. I conclude by asking you, and how are you doing? Giving the confidence of a mother to your daughters, be open with them, but so much as to attract them with filial trust to open up with you so that you may apply the necessary remedies to their weaknesses, doubts, fears, etc. Mother, draw everything from sweet Jesus, and he will be generous to you. Don't get distressed about anything. Do not fear, because Jesus will take care of everything. I leave you in his arms, locked in his divine heart, and kissing your right hand with all my esteem, I commend myself to your prayers. Your most devoted and affectionate servant, Luisa Picaretta, Corrado, February 25th, 1933. Amen, fiat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think one of the things that we can see that Luisa Picaretta does whenever she's given the spiritual advice, that she's able to connect the gift of the divine will to basically the vocation in life. We have seen these letters, and many of these letters, I think most of them, is correspondences with sisters, with superiors, with mothers, and other times also with members of communities. But she constantly is talking about the gift of the divine will to be able to make it is basically part of you, the centers of your life, the center of our existence, basically. And this is what we see in the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the divine will was like the centers. It was the center of everything in his humanity, the divine will operating through his humanity, but it was the center of everything. He mentions that in volume 23. And here, when Luisa Picaretta tells this mother also to tell the sisters, tell them on my behalf not to pay attention to specks and straws, but to the celestial breath that sweet Jesus wants to give them through you. And then she mentions that our Lord Jesus wants to give them the bread of the supreme fiat. I believe it's in volume 15, I think it's in volume 15, where our Lord Jesus talks about the three breaths when he talks about the Our Father, and he talks about the three breaths. And he mentions first the bread of course, the bread of the divine will, then the bread, the sacramental bread, which is the Eucharist, and then the physical bread in this order. We see this in the Gospels also when the Lord mentions seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be given unto you. Why first the kingdom of God? Why the will of God first? Because the will of God is the source of everything that exists. Everything has its source. We all have our source in the will of God. God from all eternity has willed for us to exist in certain time and space, and for every creature and everything that exists, God has determined our own existence. So we can see that the divine will is really the center. It should be the center of our life, of everything that we do. And to see this this way of living as the original source, as the original way that God intended. When she mentions also that, without the divine will, probably we will be like, it says, poor sanctity. We will be like, he says, like a body whose limbs will have been detached. No. We, up to this point, we have known the human sanctity, many different ways of advancing towards union with God. But this is the original way, because in this way, you are always united with our Lord. In this way, you have the will of God as the primary source of every movement, of everything that you do, of every thought is the source. So you become aware of all this, and then your dependency in God, that you totally depend in God, that we depend on God totally, that nothing that we do once we are in union with God is wasted, that everything becomes eternal, everything is being perfected, not by us, but by the will of God operating in us. So everything is being perfected through us. So we can say our acts, they become human. Yeah, they are human acts, but divinized acts. Because our Lord Jesus, through this gift operating in us, he changes, he transforms them into that. Just as he's able to transform the simple bread and wine into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. But he needs that bread and that wine to stay with us sacramentally. Those things are necessary. We need the priest, we need the words, we need the bread, and we need the wine for him to stay with us sacramentally. But in union with his will, when we enter into this way of living, of operating, of allowing the Lord to operate in us, then our acts, they become necessary for his will to operate and for him to extend basically his life in us and through us. So we can say that we become an extension of his humanity. We become members of that humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ in the mystical way. Because then we are attached to his humanity through our human acts and through his will operating in us. So this is the way Luisa Picaretta is teaching in her own way. The sisters, you see, she uses these examples, very simple, but it is good because for us it also serves as an example and as a teaching. She's asking to deny nothing to the divine will. So it's the same for us. It's the same advice. To deny something to the divine will, not letting oneself to be dominated by the divine will, means to break the sanctity, right? To be separated in such a way that we ourselves will not be able to make head or tail of anything in order to really become saints. And then we will be like a body from which arms, feet, and heart have been detached, deformed, basically. So unless we enter into this way of living, we are spiritually deformed. And you look at that. You use that analogy that she's using. Unless we enter and we live into this, we will always be spiritually deformed. We will lack in the source, Yes, maybe we'll be doing good things and pious things, and that's very good, but it's not perfect yet. And to live in this way is really to arrive to what our Lord says, teaches us to do. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So maybe we can go to the next letter, Linda.
Letter number 62 to Sister M. Emiliana. In everything you do, kiss and breathe the divine will. It will make you breathe heaven, the balsamic air of peace, and will put all concerns, fears, and doubts out of your heart. The divine will be the true sun for you, which will make the night of troubles disappear, forming the smiling spring of the most beautiful flowers. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. In everything you do, all right, kiss and breathe the divine will. Last week we mentioned about the passage of Adam, and I asked you could go and read and revise that passage from volume 33, because if you look at that passage, it is exactly something like this that Adam is doing in the original state of holiness. The Lord explains that as soon as he opened his eyes, he felt his breath still fresh in him, and he immediately knew. We say that through the power of the intellect, he knew exactly what that meant for him, the very source of his existence. And in feeling that, he felt compelled to thank God and to exclaim, "Thank you, my God and my Father, the author of my life." But the Lord explains not only vocally, but he says his whole person was like a harmony, like a symphony, like a symphony with a rhythm that said, "Thank you, I love you, I bless you, I adore you, I glorify you." Just thanking him with everything. And he explains how he possessed this way of living, this sanctity given by God, that in every one of his acts, he explains even the thing, the slightest, had such value that no saint, he says, either before or after my coming upon earth, can be compared to his sanctity. And all his acts together, and all their acts together, excuse me, do not reach the value of one single act of Adam. He's talking about the saints before and after, compared with Adam in the original state of grace and holiness as God had created him. And he says, all their acts together, they don't compare. They don't have the value that one single act of Adam had, because in my divine will, he possessed the fullness of sanctity. This is very important, the fullness. And then he continues to use another very strong term, the totality of all the divine goods. The totality of all the divine goods. What are the divine goods? So what is he talking about this that Adam possessed? We just have to look at the attributes of God. That he had in his soul all the attributes of God in proportion, basically, to his capacity. So you look at the attributes of God: love, mercy, wisdom. So many attributes of God, and then he possessed all of that. He was filled with all of that. We can say of him, full of grace. He was full of grace. What the angel says to the Blessed Mother in the salutation, we can say it of Adam, the first words, full of grace. God, the living God, is operating in you because he possessed the inner life of the Blessed Trinity in operating in him. So naturally, every breath, every movement, every single act, as the Lord says, had such value that it cannot be compared. Why? Because it was not something that it was not a way of living that he came up with. It was not a way of life that he basically came up with, or he invented himself. No. It was not a way of life like Saint Benedict. We attribute that rule to Saint Benedict, the father of all the Benedictines. We attribute the Franciscan way of living to Saint Francis. And before Saint Francis, there were no Franciscans. Before Saint Benedict, they were not Benedictines. So you see that it's in a way human sanctity. This is the divine sanctity because it is not Adam's sanctity either. It's God's own life, God's own sanctity. So naturally, he didn't want his creature to praise him only in a certain times. He wanted to replicate the eternal movement of the inner life of God, giving, receiving, generating love, and then to reproduce this in the life, in the soul of Adam. So when Luisa Picaretta says, in everything you do, kiss and breathe the divine will, it may, meaning the divine will make you breathe heaven, the balsamic air of peace, and will put all concerns, fears, and doubts out of your heart. So when we say that by living in this way, we begin to live the life of heaven, meaning that in heaven, of course, there is no doubts, no fears. Even we read through sacred scripture, through the book of wisdom, the souls of the just are in the hands of God, and no torment shall touch them. Right? Because heaven is perfection. Therefore, we see that fear enters into the world immediately after the fall. We hear that the doubts enter immediately after the fall in the heart, the mind, then it becomes basically degenerated. And the whole human person becomes basically disordered. You see the structure of the human person. That we are body, soul, and that the Spirit of God is animating us in a way. We can say that the spirit of God is what animates the soul, which is spiritual. We are in the image of God. God is a spirit, pure spirit, like the soul is spiritual. And then that need a vehicle to operate, and is our humanity. And now this humanity after the fall is being affected, and all the senses have been affected. The powers of the soul have been affected. So, in the beginning, when the Lord explains that in every movement, everything that he was doing, it was a constant, I love you. I mentioned that last week. We read this passage because I think this passage is very important for us to realize that we, all of our life can become a prayer. If we look and we look living in the divine will in this way, that we can become a constant prayer. Our whole life can become a constant prayer. So then, whether you are in the convent, as is the case of so many of these letters that Luisa Picaretti is writing to the sisters and is giving them this advice, for them should be natural or less difficult, because the sisters, in a certain way, they have been consecrated to be the bride, each one of them to be the bride of Christ. And so it will be wonderful if they could see themselves in this way. In a very special way, they have been consecrated. They have consecrated themselves willingly to enter into that way of life for the sake of the kingdom. And this is what basically they are called to be. We don't have any sisters in this group, but this is what they are called to be in a very special way, to see themselves as the bride of Christ, or in a special way also like those ladies in waiting, In the court, in the royal court, you have the queen and those ladies who serve her in her palace, those ladies in waiting in a special way connected to her. This is the connection that they should have, like in a special way. The sisters should be connected with the Blessed Mother to see themselves like those ladies in waiting. But in a general way, not only them, but each soul, we should see ourselves now in a special way, consecrated to live in this way, in the divine will, to be the dwelling, the indwelling place through which the gift of the divine will, which is God's own will, is the will of the Blessed Trinity. This is what we have to understand also, that when we say the divine will, we are not talking about another separate entity up there, separate from God. No, it's having the will of the Blessed Trinity operating in us, meaning having the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the will of them operating in us as it was operating in the humanity of Christ. So, in this way, we could understand also the gift. Then, just as in our Lord Jesus, everything that he did, he had in mind just to please the Father's and to please his will. And in pleasing the Father, basically, he was pleasing himself and pleasing the Holy Spirit. He was loving himself in doing the will of the Father. He was loving the Father and the Holy Spirit because this is what he possessed, the will of the Blessed Trinity. The second person of the Blessed Trinity becoming man, becoming human. In that humanity, we see that the will of the three divine persons operating, and this is what God wants to give to every creature. His will, the will of the three persons, which is one, the three divine persons, being able to operate in the creature, basically to become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity through every single act, which happens in baptism, but in a way it remains dormant there. But now we are constantly aware, being constantly aware of the presence of the will of the three divine persons operating in me. So I become the house of the divine will. And to see ourselves, this is something that I learned from somebody recently. And if we can see ourselves, we can see ourselves being full of grace by having this gift operating in us. Because the Lord says here, we read in the last passage, I mean in the book of Adam, that he uses these terms, that these sanctities, the totality and the fullness of sanctity. And in the salutation, we hear that the angel says, full of grace. So if Adam possessed this gift and he was full of grace, full of sanctity, he possessed the totality of sanctity, we could say of Adam, Adam, full of grace, the divine will is operating in you. Blessed are you, the first creature whom God had created. That you came out of the hands of God, of his very womb of God, of his very bosom of the Father. Blessed indeed among all the creatures. And then we see that salutation in the Blessed Virgin Mary. Blessed are you among women, because you have been chosen to receive, to receive this gift from your conception so you can give birth to the Redeemer, so that through that the rest of humanity may be able to be called also. Blessed are you. And this is not something new, because the Lord uses this in the Gospel of Matthew, the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when they persecute you. So we can apply this and to the divine will. Now we can say to each one of us, you can say to yourself, how blessed I am. I am full of grace. Especially if you go to the sacrament of confession, and then you realize, you begin also to live in this way, that in every act, you are full of grace. The Blessed Trinity is operating in you. How blessed are we among all the creatures that we have come to know this gift. So this is something that you can use in your own meditation, you know, and there is no reason for us then to be depressed or sad, even in the most difficult situations, because this is the sanctity that contains the fullness of sanctity, the totality, all the divine goods. So in your meditations, just use this and just tell yourself, full of grace, you are full of grace. The Lord is in you. I am full of grace. The Lord is in me. How blessed I am that I have receive this gift, the knowledge. So may it not stay there only as knowledge, but may it become part of my breathing, my every movement, my every single act. So then I can move and say, blessed I am that the Lord is operating in me through every single act. One day I shall see the fruit of this operation as many signs of light. So if the Blessed Mother was living in this way, and the angel, I mean God, sends the angel and salutes the Blessed Virgin Mary, if we are the children of the Blessed Mothers, then we have to be also the same. We have to resemble the mothers, full of grace. That's why also we always need the sacraments. We will always need the sacrament of confession, because there will always be the need for us to go back over and over and over, so that God may perfect us through the sacraments and now through every single act, so we truly can say, I am the living sacrament of the divine will. I'm a living sacrament. I live in the sacrament of the divine will. And so we are not saying that there is another sacrament. That's not what we are saying, but we understand that a sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible reality. This is the definition that Father Robert Young used to say, to give always. For those of you who remember his talks, this is his definition, and when I heard it, I made it mine. So this is the definition that I use all the time, because it really conveys that, and it goes along with what the teaching of the church is, that the sacrament is a mystery, and mystery means hidden, right? And yes, the divine will hidden in our humanity now, operating in our humanity, then visible signs of invisible realities, bread, wine, that after the consecration, they are not only bread and wine, that there is an invisible reality, which is body, blood, soul, and divinity. So visible realities in us, yes, we keep doing the same thing. As Luisa Picaretta mentions here, yes, just do everything. Let nothing escape. Take every kiss, every breath, everything that you do. Those are acts, actions. So visible. But now, in union with the divine will, then there is an invisible reality that is underneath, that we cannot see it. What is the reality? The Lord says every single act is a sign, a new sign, and one more beautiful than the others. So filling us with that light, so we should possess at every time that light with more intensity should be in our soul. And exactly, this is what happens in the sacraments. That light of God enters, that grace, the glory, the splendor of God entering into the soul, transforming the creature, taking away the sin, and filling it with God's grace, sanctifying grace. And there is an invisible reality there. That's why I say the sacrament of living in the divine will. Sacrament is hidden. We know the sacrament is something that is hidden, yes. So it's hidden, the divine will operating is hidden in our humanity. So I just wanted to clarify that. So we are not talking about creating another sacrament, but seeing it from that analogy, then yeah. The sacrament of living in the divine will, and it consists of God sharing his life constantly in us. And what's the life of God? It's divine, it's not human life. The human life was given to us in conception. But now, sharing his divine life through using our human acts. So, in that way, we become divinized a little by little. And again, this is not a term that we should be scandalized. We should not be scandalized when we hear this because the church talks about this. Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity so that we may share in his divinity. And this is the way to share in his divinity. Not constantly, not only when we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity, that he shares his divinity through the sacramental bread. That's only one way that we see it has beginning and it has an end. But in this way, as long as we are alive, then it will have no end. When you enter into this way of living now, you make every single breath part of your every single breath and every single action in union with God, then it will forever continue and you will forever continue to grow in this life with God, because then you will acquire that capacity, that openness to possess God's own life. He says that, I'm just going to skip some lines, and he says, therefore, each one of his acts done in this fullness of divine good has such value that no one else, as much as he might sacrifice himself, suffer, and do good, but does not possess the kingdom of my will and its total dominion, can be compared to one alone of these acts in the kingdom of my will. So look at those sacrifices and the sacrifices of these nuns that Luisa Picaretta is writing. That's why Luisa Picaretta wants to bring them up to all of them to this high way of living. This is one of the things that we see in the letters of Luisa, that she takes the situation. And then she wants to bring them up to have this complete union with the will of God. We see this is what the church has been doing for more than 2,000 years now. Slowly, slowly, slowly. This is what God has done with all of us, with the whole human race. After the fall, giving commandments, moving us, giving us his son, and then moving us towards the possession of the gift that was lost. So this is what Luisa Picaretta is doing, is bringing up all this people that she writes, especially the nuns, so that they may acquire this total union with God's will. And this total union now consists in that the humanity of each one of us be united to his will. So in the tradition of the church, we see that there are many stages in the spiritual life. We see the purgative life, that is the cleansing, then we see the illuminative life, and then we see moving towards union with God. But this is probably we can talk about this way of living now, having a new concept also, or a fourth concept. Now, this is a the possession, arriving to the possession, not only to know the will of God, but to have the possession of the will of God operating in the soul. So here we are called to possess, so that by possessing that as the center of every single action, then everything becomes a prayer, a rhythm that says, I love you. So your blinking of the eye is saying to God, I love you. Your blood circulation is saying, I love you. Your breathing, your heartbeat, every movement, everything. So even the very existence of every human cell in us. So we just become a symphony of God shouting to God, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then in that way, yeah, we enter into the sacrament. We become a living sacrament, the sacrament of living in the divine will. Why? Because there is an invisible reality that goes underneath every single breath, our underneath of our high blood pressure or low blood pressure and our movements and everything. So we are living sacraments. The glory, the love that Adam gave me as long as he lived in the kingdom of my volition, no one has given me, because his acts gave me fullness and totality of all goods. So we have to give ourselves in totality, not only in intervals, not in gaps, but constantly, because we read also from the Book of Heaven that what the Blessed Mother is by grace, what the divine will is, what the will of God is by its nature, what the will of God was doing in the humanity of Christ by his nature, then it will become in the creature by participation or by acting constantly, not intervals, but constantly. So Adam had his riches, his acts in acts of infinite value, which my eternal will communicated to him before the divinity, because in creating him, God had left nothing empty within him. We come back to the idea of this fullness. May it be nothing empty in us. So again, look at this way of living and apply it to different spiritualities, right? So yes, there are times, certain times, and things that we have to do. I said to pray certain time, certain things at certain times, to say certain prayers. But to live in the divine will is to have nothing empty, to let escape no single act in union with the will of God, right? So this way of living is the original way of living, is the way that belongs to us. And this is what Luisa Picarreta, she understands this now. This letter doesn't have the date, but she understands the way of living in the divine will. That's why she wants to bring up all those sisters and those people who write to her to this way of living in a simple way. The divine will be the true sun for you, which will make the night of troubles disappear, forming the smiling spring of the most beautiful flowers, she says in the letter. Oh, how the divine will wants you a saint. Wants you to be holy. Holiness means to be set apart for a certain purpose. So yes, we are set apart. God created man and he set Adam apart from the rest of creatures, giving him free will, intellect, and memory that set him apart from the rest of of creation. He made him holy. He made him to be saint. He made him a saint. He just had to remain in there. So, by virtue of our baptism, we have been set apart for God. Now, through the knowledge of this gift, we have been set apart for the divine will to operate in us. So, all of you who are listening, you have now received the gift of knowledge, of knowing this great way of living, this divine science. That's one step. That's one step. We pray in the prayer that we say at the beginning, that comes from volume 17, main 17, 1925, about the rounds. It says that we pray to the Holy Spirit to hurry, to come quickly, to make His will known. And then it says, so that by knowing it, they may love it. And they may welcome it. To begin, so that the divine will may begin to do the first act. And to begin living in this way begins with one act. So we have been set apart for the divine will to be able to operate in us. But it wants you to call it continuously. You see here again. In order to make the day of peace arise in your soul, arise in your soul. So just as with the sun, rise comes and it inundates the whole earth with the light and all the splendor of the sun and the effects of the sun and the earth produces, and the creatures are in a way transformed by the very sun, the flowers. All the trees giving new fruit, colors, and all of that is the effect of the sun upon them. So take that analogy that the Lord many times uses the sun as His will. So when Luisa Picaretta mentions that in order to make the day of peace arise in your soul, may the divine will enter in our soul and inundate all of us, each one of us with that light, with that heat, and we may begin living for Him. And He's able to transform, as He says, excuse me, as Luisa Picaretta says, and make all the miseries which prevent true sanctity magically disappear. So many times I agree with Luisa Picaretta, right? Here I have to disagree a little bit, but I will explain how, because for some people, it may be confusing this word magically. Because to live in the divine will is nothing, has nothing magical. Mystical, yes. Hidden, yes. Magical. I know that Luisa Picaretta doesn't mean this as the modern world uses the word magic. So for us, it should not be a problem in the Catholic tradition when we hear this word and in the context that she's saying. So we understand this term in the context that she's saying, that yes, they will disappear at once. At once they will disappear from your heart. So just look at the sacrament of confession. Once you receive absolution, they disappear immediately. Immediately, your sins disappear. So this is what we can substitute this term of magically, but immediately they will disappear from your heart, because the divine will awaits for each one of us. It's just waiting, waiting, waiting to see what creature, and when are we going to say, come, divine will, fill me with thy grace to recognize that? So then at the end of this letter, she says, give me life in your acts, and I will make you a saint, and everything will turn into happiness. This is what the divine will is saying to what Luisa Picaretta says the divine will basically does once we give our will. So, yes, the divine will is waiting for us. It's awaiting to enter into that single act that we do to welcome the life of God, the very life of the Blessed Trinity. Remember, is to enter into this way, this sanctity is to have the very life of the Blessed Trinity being reproduced in the soul of the creatures. And in that sense, yes, now even the prayer of the Blessed Mother can apply for us. How blessed are we that we have been chosen among all the human race to be able to come to know this gift that many saints they long for, but they didn't have it. Not because we are better than them, but because in God's eternal plan and wisdom, He designed that this is the time that He was going to give it, because many other things needed to be done, preparation for this, as a preparation for this gift. So blessed are we among the human race that we have not only received this gift, that but we are trying to live in this way. Right? May the Holy Spirit fill us with God's radiance and with His light, that we may persevere in this way of living, in this way of union with God, so that we may attain the fullness of God's divinity as much as we creatures are able to contain while we are here on earth. And may it be for the praise and glory of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.